The animals had a school. The curriculum consisted of running, climbing, flying, and swimming. All the animals took all the subjects. The duck was very good at swimming, but fair in flying, and he was terrible at running. So he was made to drop the swimming class and stay after school to practice running. He kept this up until he was only average at swimming, but average was acceptable. The others, including the teacher, were no longer threatened by the duck's swimming abilities, and everyone felt more comfortable, except the duck. The eagle was considered to be a problem student. For example, in climbing class, he could beat all the others to the top of the tree, but he insisted on using his own methods to get there. He had to be severely disciplined, and finally, because of his non-cooperation in swimming, he was expelled for insubordination. The rabbit started at the top of his class in running, but was obviously inadequate in other areas. Because of so much makeup work the rabbit had to do in swimming, he had a nervous breakdown and had to drop out of the class. The turtle was a failure in almost every class offered there. His shell was considered to be the leading cause of his failure, so the shell was removed. This did help his running a little bit, but sadly he became the first casualty when he was stepped on by the horse. So here's the animal school summary. The faculty was disappointed, but all in all, it was a good school in humility. There were no real successes. None seemed to measure up to the others, but they did concentrate on their weak points, and a little bit of progress was made. You ever gone to a school like that? I hope not. Have you ever had church like that? I really hope you haven't, because I believe God has a plan for you that does not take away your strengths. God has a plan for you to use the strengths that you have for His kingdom. He doesn't want to minimize your strengths. He doesn't want you to put your strengths aside and just work on your weaknesses. God wants to use the strengths He's given you. And someone once said this. Someone said, you will be most excited and least stressed when you're doing what you're made to do. Well, how do you know what God made you to do? Well, I think that spiritual gifts are a huge indicator of exactly what you're made to do. And for the sake of this class, let me go back up here. Spiritual gifts. We're in a series about all in, and that is we need to all be in. And the all in is taken an analogy from football. And that is, coaches expect each player to be all into the game, to be ready and prepared and to do their part, because it takes many different people in a football game to do the different parts of that. And that's the same with an orchestra. That's the same with combat patrol. Everybody's got a part to do, and each one is important to do that part. Every person is needed in an orchestra. And some of you know about spiritual gifts. You're familiar with that. Others may not be as much. I bet a number of you already know the spiritual gifts you've been given by God, and you're ready to jump in and do things using those gifts. Others may say, what? I didn't even know there were spiritual gifts. We want to talk today, kind of a little primer on spiritual gifts as a part of the series All In, because it is really important to be involved at every level. We all need one another. In fact, I don't know if Mark planned this, but the passage he read today really dovetails with what we're talking about here. So for the sake of discussion today, I'm going to define a spiritual gift like this. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability from God to bless others and build God's kingdom. That's what God wants. He wants you to bless one another and build His kingdom up here, and everybody is a part to that. So we're going to look at one of the key passages on this, a little primer on gifts, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And we are going to pick our way through here and there in 1 Corinthians 12 and talk about spiritual gifts. We're going to start in verse 4. So if you got your Bibles, you can follow. If not, you can follow along on the screen. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it's the same God at work. Now here's the first point. God invented unity in diversity. God was the one who invented this idea of unity in diversity. Notice how many times Paul, he goes different, 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 same, same, same. He's weaving those two ideas together. Different gifts, different workings, different abilities. The same God who does that. Unity of what God has amongst us with different kinds of outworking of those things. Unity in diversity. He hits this a few verses later. And he says this in verse 12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by the one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews, Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So you get the unity of one body, the unity together, but the diversity of many different parts doing different things in the body, and everything, every part is needed. Now, that's great theoretically, but when it comes to a bunch of people working and living together and doing things together, that can be pretty frustrating at times, can't it? How many people have ever said something like this? I wish other people were just more like me. You've ever said that? If everybody was more like me, we would really be taken care of here. Not so fast there. Other people, I think, drive you crazy in part because of the differences that they have. They're different from you. I mean, some of you are people persons, and some of you are more introverted. I mean, some of you love to be up front, and others say, I'd just like to stay in the background. Don't ever make me come up here ever again. Some of you are more verbal, and some of you like to speak with your actions. Some of you are competitive and just can't wait to get in there. Others of you just kind of hang back and can't we just all get along? So we have all this kind of diversity in the body, and that can drive us crazy. But you have to blame God for that, because God is the one who cooked up this idea of diversity and all of our differences. And He's the one who maintains the unity that we have. The unity comes from Him. And even the Trinity practices this very idea of diversity and unity, because in the Trinity you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they have different abilities, different callings, different responsibilities in the world today, and yet they are very much unified in what they do. They are together in what they do. Unity in the diversity even of the Trinity. And God wants us to emulate them, wants us to be a reflection of them. Now, unity and diversity, I think, is essential in the military. I heard this once, and maybe some of you guys who've been in the military can back this up for me. I heard once that they said for every soldier, infantry soldier on the battle lines, there are 100 people in back of them. Have you heard that? Is that true? I mean, you've got supply people and logistics and, you know, the people bringing the food and the gasoline in, and you've got air support and ground support, sea support, all this different kind of things, you know, administration and paychecks. I mean, all this thing to me so that one guy can be on the front lines of battle. So in the military, at least, I believe there's unity and diversity. You've got a common goal and a common objective of heading this area, doing that thing, and yet you've got many people supporting and helping. That is unity in diversity. God invented that whole idea. Here's point number two. You all have a gift. That is each one of you. Everyone here has a spiritual gift, at least one, maybe more. Here's how Paul puts it in verse 7. He says this, "Now to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Notice he says each one, each person here. That includes all of you. Does that include you? And you, and you, and you, and you, each one here has a spiritual gift. Is that true? Each one. Paul reiterates this in this chapter three different times, this idea that each one has a gift. And the whole point is that there's not just a select few who happen to be up front who have gifts and everybody else are just observers. That's not the body of Christ. Everybody has a part to play. Now, here's verse 11 in chapter 12 there. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to, there's the phrase, each one, just as He determines. And in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We need all the parts of the body. See, what the Corinthians were doing is they had a little bit of unhealthy competition going on in the church at Corinth, and they were elevating one gift above another, or one personality above another, and putting other people down. And there was this kind of that kind of thing going on in the body. And so Paul writes this in part to say, hey, let's kind of take the edge off of that unhealthy competition. We need one another. You can't knock one another down. You can't say, I don't need them. We need one another. And that's his point that he's talking about here. Plus, there's this. You can't complain about the spiritual gift you've been given. Some of you may do that. Some of you may say, wait a minute, I hear I have this gift, but I really don't want that gift. Listen to chapter 12, verse 11 again. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So if you have a gift that God's given you, you don't like that gift, you take it up with Him. That's the Holy Spirit who determines what gift you've been given, gift or gifts you've been given. So, He picked the gift that's perfect for you in the way you are in your personality, and it's perfect for the church as well. We all need what you've got. We all need what you are doing to be active in the body of Christ. Here's point number three. You need to exercise that gift. It's not enough just to know that you have a gift. You have to use your gift. You have to actually be active with that gift. Paul says this again in verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Why? For the common good. God gives these gifts for the common good. There's the implication in that is that God gives it so that we all use it and we are all benefiting from one another using your gift. Whether it's counseling or administration or bookkeeping or support or helps or teaching or whatever. You use your gift. The body needs that. It's for the common good. Now, we all need that. If you don't use your gift, we are missing out. To borrow a phrase from an old song, hide it under a bushel. No, you got to let it shine. That's the idea. You got to let that shine. Paul uses the analogy of a body to drive this home. And Mark read some of that this morning. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now, the point in this point I'm talking about is you need to exercise your gift. And he's comparing the body of Christ to the body that we have. And he's, you know, and the idea would be, which part do you think you can do without? I mean, if you had a choice in it, which part would you say, okay, I'm going to, the appendix, I'm leaving that here. Or I'm going to cut off my left arm because I'm right-handed. Which part of the body would you cut off, would you be without? That's kind of, you know, which one do I don't want anything to do with? And forgive me, excess fat doesn't count. It's just other parts of the things, you know, functional parts of the body. Now, when one part doesn't work, you feel it, right? When your knee is not working correctly, doesn't the rest of the body complain? When your lungs aren't able to draw enough air in, the rest of the body is weakened by that. When you're not able to function, it can be a small thing as a sliver in your finger that the rest of the body says, hey, wait a minute, I'm not optimally functioning here. Every part is needed. Every part is needed to do what they need to do, or else the rest of the body is not as happy. Now, I am not a NASCAR fan, but some of you may be. And I think that with a NASCAR, you know, it's not just the driver that's important in there. You know, NASCAR, they have teams that are working at this. And a pit crew is especially essential to the team, right? I mean, you get the guy pulling in, and how many seconds does it take to change tires and fill with gas? I mean, they go for records, 4, 5, 6 seconds. I mean, and it's amazing what a pit crew can do. Imagine if the pit crew says, you know, I'm not that important. I mean, the driver, he gets all the glory. So I'm just going to, you know, we're not going to do our part. And they take a long lunch during the race. Or the pit crew says, you know what, we'll let the driver, he gets all the attention. We'll let him change his own tires and fill his own gas. They're probably not going to win. See, everybody working together, though, with everybody's got a specific tire and a specific job to do, then a pit crew, and then everybody helps everybody else to win. So don't put yourself down on that. And that is point number four. Don't put yourself down. Have you ever said something like this, like the theoretical pit crew, NASCAR pit crew? Now, I'm just not a teacher. I mean, the teacher gets all the glory. I'm just not a teacher. I'm not an elder, and I just, you know, I'm not a leader. I've never been musical. I can't be up front. I'm just not one of the important gifts. Have you ever said something like that? Don't put yourself down. And Paul talks about that here. Don't count yourself out. Don't discredit yourself. We all need you. If the church were all musicians, where would the bookkeeping be? If the flock were all teachers, where would the administration be? If everybody here was an apostle, who would send them out to do what they need to do? So everybody's got different gifts and calling and ability, and it's how we all work together. So don't count yourself out. Don't put yourself down. Your gift is needed, just like we need the pit crew if you're a NASCAR driver. Now, there's an opposite side to this, and it's in the verses following the ones that we just read. We stopped at verse 20 of chapter 12. We're going to continue reading in verse 21. Here's the opposite side. Nay, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. Do you see that? God putting the body together and everybody doing their part, and that is unity and diversity. We need one another, that there is no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Here's how I put it in point number five, don't puff yourself up. In the body of Christ, you cannot, don't put yourself down. Oh, you don't need, I don't need you. You know, you don't need me. It's, I just want to stay in the background and do nothing. Don't do that, but don't puff yourself up either, thinking, you know, I'm pretty hot stuff. You know, you need my gift because it's really pretty cool. Don't do that. No part or no gift in the body should look at another part and say, I don't need them. And this applies, I think, to the physical body as well. You know, I got to watch a little bit, and I just loved just the break I had. I got to watch a little bit of college football yesterday. And imagine now if we had a college quarterback who had just thrown a pass for a touchdown. It was the winning touchdown for his team. And then the arm starts to take all the credit. And the arm says, yeah, I'm a pretty good arm. Did you see the way I threw that ball? And you know, I'm pretty special. And the rest of the body starts to object at that very, you know, that the arm trying to grab all the credit. And the feet say, hey, wait a minute, arm. We planted pretty firmly so you could make that pass. And the eyes say, yeah, arm. I mean, I looked for receivers and I found the receiver for you. Come on. And then the stomach pipes up and says, well, I ate the pregame meal and gave you all you guys energy. The arm cannot take credit. The whole body works together. And then you can apply that to the whole football team. I mean, it was not just the quarterback. It was the front line who gave him the time in the pocket to make that pass and everything else. So, you know, it all works together. You know, I speak here most Sundays, and I love it, honestly. But, you know, I don't do this alone. You know, you may or may not know, Melissa prepares the notes for the bulletin every week. Sherry often does the slides, and she puts those together for me and does all that back there. And the worship team oftentimes aligns what I'm saying, you know, with the songs that go on like that. And then you all give me the opportunity to study and prepare every week. You know, this is not just a solo effort here. One part cannot get puffed up about what they do. Every part is needed. Just imagine if we had a church full of preachers. Everybody wanting to talk. Would that be chaos? Wouldn't that be chaos? If everybody were preachers. Imagine if we had a worship team comprised entirely of drummers.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Well, I know you drummers, and like me, you like to be loud. Absolutely. That. How would that sound? What if everybody in the church were introverts? Would anybody ever talk? See, we need one another, don't we? We need the different abilities and different musicians and different gifts and different personalities. We absolutely need those things. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. God designed it that way. He made us that way. And sometimes it's frustrating because not everybody's like me, but yet that's God's design. Unity in diversity, all the different things. That's spiritual gifts. We need to know them and use them. We need each one of you involved in that. Why are we talking about this at all? Why are we even mentioning this? And it's to underscore this point that the church is not a spectator sport. I know that some of us tend to think of church just on Sunday mornings, and that's not the case at all. This is kind of a celebration. We gather together, we learn some, and we talk with one another, but the church is not a spectator sport. The church is involvement. The church is doing things together, each pulling our part. And so that you, I believe, need to discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gift. Discover your gift, deploy your gift, and discover, develop, and deploy your gift. Now, you can discover your gift in a number of ways. You can take a class. You can read about it in books. You can take an assessment. And you can ask friends. You ask your friends, people who know you, somebody in the family, and say, hey, what do you think my gift is, spiritual gift? And chances are somebody's observed you doing something well or something that you're good at. And those are the ways you can discover your gift. You need to develop your gift, and you do that by practicing or by taking some training with your spiritual gift. And you deploy your gift, and that is you just dive in. Sometimes the best way to discover it is by volunteering for something. I'm going to try this and see if it fits. And I've told many people over the years, you try this, and if it doesn't fit, great. Come on back, we'll try something we hope that fits, because the church is best served when we're doing the things that we love to do and the things we're made to do. And so when we're doing what God made us to do, there's a joy there. And I want everybody to be active and involved in the way God made you to be. Now, if you don't know your gift, we've got help coming for you. And September 30th, at the end of this month, Doug Osborne is going to start teaching his spiritual gifts class. It's going to be 5 weeks, and we're going to go through that. There's a gifts assessment, but the space is limited for this. There's space for 8 in this class. It's going to be in the conference room at the 9 o'clock hour. And so if you said, you know what, I'm not sure of my spiritual gift. I would like to learn about gifts, and I would like to discover my gift. Take that class, and don't everybody rush back at once, but we have a sign up on a board in the fellowship hall. When you go back for cookies, sign up if you would like to discover your gift and learn how to deploy it in the church. We would love to have you involved in the place of your strengths and how God made you. Now, in the event that 8 people sign up and it's full, there's another class that will follow right after that. So we want to help equip you to know your gift, discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gift. Get there fast. I think everybody here should know their gift and use their gift. Absolutely. That's the way God designed it. Got a question for you. Where were you on July 20th, 1969? Now, I know some of you weren't born then. That's okay. July 20th, 1969. You know, Mark?
Yeah, I was in my living room watching Neil Armstrong walk on the moon.
Yes, you're watching Neil Armstrong walk on the moon. July 20th, 1969, I was in my backyard in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, looking up at the moon going, holy cow, there's guys up there. That was Apollo 11, men to walk on the moon. Now, one of those astronauts, Michael Collins, said this when they were up there. Listen to this quote. All this is possible only through the blood, sweat, and tears of thousands of people. All you see are the three of us, but underneath the surface are thousands and thousands of others. Now, those three guys were on the moon, but did you know, this blew my mind when I read this, that over 400,000 people were involved in Apollo 11, making that moon landing and walking and coming back. There were spacesuit seamstresses. There were radio telescope operators, parachute designers, people who made it possible for men to get to the moon, walk on the moon, and get home again safely, and so the rest of the world can watch. At Kennedy Space Center, there were 17,000 engineers, mechanics, soldiers, and contractors who worked to get that massive rocket up so that could get launched. 17,000. There were the two Bobs. Those were guys in Houston that were monitoring how much fuel was left in the lunar module as they descended to the moon. Somebody's got to watch how much gas is in the tank, right? It also included a computer whiz kid named Jack Garman. He helped work through. They had difficulties when the Eagle was landing, and he was working through the computer glitches so that that could happen. The system, the computer system that was designed, was a team of people at MIT that designed that. Margaret Hamilton was the lead on that. And there were roughly 500 people who worked on the design of the spacesuit alone. I mean, think about that. I mean, just a suit that's going to protect you from the environment of whatever was happening on the moon. And one of the seamstresses said this, "We didn't worry too much until the guys on the moon started jumping up and down. That gave us a little bit of an eyebrow twitch." 400,000 people working together for a common objective. So that those guys said that we as a nation could go to the moon, plant a flag, plant a plaque, and get back safely. 400,000. Many of those people you never heard of. Many of those people you don't even know about. And yet they all played their part. How much more for the sake of the eternal kingdom of God? For the sake of eternity, other people's eternity, the glory of God in the earth and in the future, how much more do we need to know our gifts, and our calling and to exercise those gifts. I hope you take that class if you haven't done so. Discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gift. Pray with me, would you? Lord, thank you for this whole idea of unity and diversity. Lord, that you invented that. That's your idea. Lord, help us to make it work here. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you help us to know our gifts and use them and to pray for and develop the unity in the Spirit you want as we all do our different parts. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would help each one to know their gift and use it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't forget to sign up for that gifts class back there. And if you would like prayer for anything, please come on up front and we'd be happy to pray for you. Have a great rest of the day.